It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you, Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me is 85% always is my co-host, Steven Rapp. And it is that time of year again. It is San Diego time.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's the most frenetic time of the year.
It's the most what?
It's the most frenetic time of the year. It's craziness.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like there should be...
Big words.
There should be Comic-Con carols.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a matter of time. I feel like we're kind of moving into a place as a society where it's like, I mean, it's on my news feed, not like the stories, but on that sidebar on Facebook, it's like San Diego Comic-Con happens. That's the story. That's not news. If somebody
See, my news feed is every story from Comic-Con. So it's just like, this is what happened in this panel.
No, but I mean, this is like the Facebook telling me to click on these articles. It's like, here's the thing where Facebook is like, in this week's news, President Obama, got off a helicopter or whatever he did. And then underneath that, it'd be like, and then Comic-Con happens in San Diego. And it's like, well, who generally cares outside of like comic book people?
Well, everybody now.
And that's the problem.
The thing.
Is everyone's in on the gig now.
Well, and that's the big thing because it really is about the movies. It's about the
movies
mostly. It's about, then minorly, it's about the TV shows.
Yeah.
And then...
Even minorly than that is the comics.
Well, and that's one of the things, because out of all the announcements, and we'll cover most of the announcements this year, I found very few comics. I was looking.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about this show, and obviously, again, this year we didn't go. I've talked about it many times. I've gone once. Once is kind of enough.
Yeah, it's kind of what I'm thinking.
It's so crowded.
Yeah, Jimmy Fran always said that. He's like, it's worth, go one time just to say it did. He's like, it's like, you're supposed to, if you're a Jew, you're supposed to make the pilgrimage to the wall thing or whatever it's called.
Yes.
I'm not a Jew. I don't know anything about it.
Wailing Wall?
Yeah, you're supposed to, like, that's like a thing, a pilgrimage they call it. You're supposed to go once a year to the Holy Land, kind of blah, blah, blah. This is like the nerd version of that. It's like, yeah, you should go to Comic-Con once in your life.
It is, and I remember the one year I went, I was there from Wednesday to Sunday, and there was this moment where the moment I knew where things were on the floor, when you're at, like,
you found your way around,
when you're standing in an aisle and you go, oh, I know where that booth is, that was the same moment where I'm like, I'm exhausted and I need to get out of this.
Yeah,
because it's so...
And when was that?
So big. 2008 was the
year.
Okay,
so it was
there.
Recent. Yeah. It was becoming the monster thing.
Right.
That it
well,
is
remember,
now.
2008 was the year of Iron Man and Dark Knight, and that just shoved things ahead a few steps, and then Avengers even more. And that's why most of the announcements we'll talk about have been, as I said, movies and television. And people complain every year. There's been a debate of, oh, the movies and television are taking over. Comic-Con used to be about comics. It's not about comics anymore. And then the other people say to that, oh, no, there are just as many comics as there used to be, but the convention itself is so much bigger.
Yeah, and I'd agree to the second point, not having obviously ever been there, but I've seen enough to know that the convention is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's taking more and more space. I mean, it sounds a little like, no one cared about this stuff, and now they do, and they care about the movies, and it's like, there is a pushback. It's a weird thing, I think, where it's like it becomes mainstream, and then fuck it, people
right.
hate it.
But I will say, as I was looking through the announcements, I saw very, very few comic book announcements.
Yeah.
There's no major event coming. There was no huge, creator announcement.
Nope.
We heard right before that Grant Morrison was going to be taking over as editor-in-chief for Heavy Metal Magazine, and that he was going to be doing a sequel to Multiversity and a series of Batman Black and White stories.
Yeah.
And that was like kind of it. And then today, Sunday, as we're recording this, the one big thing from the Spider-Man panel, of course, now they had a Spider-Man World panel. It used to be just amazing, and now it's Spider-Gwen, and James Robinson is doing Jerry Conway is doing a Carnage series, and Miles Morales is
going to be the new Spider-Man.
Yeah. And But they announced, the big announcement was that Joe Kelly and Ed McGuinness are reuniting for a Spider-Man and Deadpool series.
Yeah.
Which I think is big news. Anytime Ed McGuinness does something, it's big news. Because he doesn't stay long, and yeah. He does great work.
Yeah, you figure he might get a year's worth, or maybe he'll do 25 that, issues. Or
maybe a six-issue story kick arc to kick it off.
Yeah, and that's like one of those books where they're crazy excited about it now, and they announced it, but it's like there was this huge push a couple years ago. They were going to do a Wolverine-Spider-Man team-up book.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, you remember it, meaning like, oh, yeah, I completely forgot that existed because it went like six issues and got canceled.
Right.
It was like the Kuberts were on it. It was supposed to be like this huge book. And it just fizzled out. So it's like, I do hear stuff like this, like, oh, Spider-Man and Deadpool are getting a team-up book. It's like, oh, great. How many issues is it going to last, though?
Yeah, I'll read it just because I loved Joe Kelly's Deadpool
run. Yeah, his run on supposed to be the
best.
Yeah,
I have his omnibus, and that's great. And Ed McGuinness, I like to see whatever he's doing.
Yeah, he's always good.
Even when he's on a book I didn't care about, like when he and Claremont were doing, was it Nightcrawler?
Yeah, they were doing Nightcrawler or Amazing X-Men, maybe?
Amazing X-Men, which had Nightcrawler in it. That's what it was. I always at least pick it up and flip through it. So I'm excited about that. But that's true. Team up books, like, how long do they run? The big runs are Marvel Team Up was 150 issues and Marvel 2-in-1 was 100 issues, which was the thing. But that was back in the 70s.
Yeah. And then DC does, you know, the Superman Batman World's Finest type deal.
Right.
And the original Superman Batman, well, not the original, but the probably the best selling one is the Jeff Loeb Ed McGuinness.
Right, but it was best-selling for their run, which was...
Yeah, well, then even it changed.
And McGuinness only did six issues.
Because McGuinness left, Pacheco came out, and Pacheco left, and then, or maybe before Pacheco-Turner, so it was like, they did consistently get, like, A-list artists, but same thing.
But then when Loeb left, that...
Yeah, McGuinness came back, they did, like, one story arc that was kind of weird, and then they left.
And then that was kind of it. And team-up titles, I think there's this feeling about team-up titles that they don't really count, because... When you have a title like Batman Superman, which is probably the longest, as you said, it used to be World's Finest back in the day. It's been Batman Superman since the early 2000s. There's this feeling of, well, nothing major is going to happen in this book. They're not going to kill Batman and Batman Superman.
Yeah.
If they're going to kill Batman, they're going to kill him in Batman.
Right.
If they're going to kill Superman, they're going to kill him in Superman.
All the big changes for Superman will come out of the Superman book, not the Superman Batman book.
Yeah, and if something major happens to the whole DC universe, they're both in the Justice League, they'll do it there.
Yeah.
So there's always this kind of feeling after a while, it's like, I guess I could stop reading this.
Right.
If it's not only my interest. And I'm sure Spider-Man and Deadpool will be that. But my point of that book was, that was the only major announcement that I heard about. I mean, we got the announcement that Bendis was going to be taking over Iron Man
about a month ago. Yeah, we got the big Marvel announcements a month ago of all the new number ones that are coming out, the new creative teams, the new directions. And I was talking to Joe about it, and we were both kind of looking at the list. And I'm like, there's a lot of like female talent on these books. A lot of the writers in those new number ones coming out are females. A lot of the artists are females. It's actually kind of nice to see. Hopefully this will bring a little diversity and it'll give whatever Marvel is looking for that they keep relaunching these number ones. Hopefully they'll find it with this diverse, like finally majorly diverse, creative teams behind these books instead of just, the same six writers and the same seven artists.
And remember that was the problem with Marvel Now was,
like
the big idea was we're all going to trade books and Matt Fraction's going to leave Iron Man and do Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Did he have a pitch for it? I don't know, but that's going to happen. Bendis is going to do X-Men.
Yeah, and then the best thing that came out of the Marvel Now was Superior Spider-Man, which is Dan Slott refusing to leave the book he had been on for 5 years, which was great. It was good, but it's just
and
like...
And Slott staying on. They're relaunching Spider-Man again with a new number one after Secret Wars. And it's going to be like this crazy... It sounds like Batman Incorporated for Spider-Man.
That's pretty much what I was going to say, is it looks a lot like it's like Spider-Man's of many countries. And apparently, Peter Parker's going to kind of step down as like a major superhero, and they're going to inject like Miles Morales. He's going to be like the Spider-Man. So he'll be like the go-to guy.
Well, it's
guy.
Exactly like Batman Incorporated went, because that was at a time when both Dick Grayson and Bruce Wayne were both Batman, and then they introduced all those characters. And I'm not worried about it because Slott is staying. And
yeah.
I've trusted him through Spider-Verse and Spider-Island and Superior and every crazy story he's had, he's managed to pull off.
Yeah.
And he, no matter how big he's gotten with these stories, and he's gotten pretty big.
Yeah.
He's always managed to ground it with Peter Parker's character.
Yeah.
So I'm staying, it's a book that I'm I'm gonna keep on my poll list.
Yeah, I saw the one teaser for it. He's in like a suit that glows, like with the symbol, and there's like a spider buggy driving with like a fat Asian guy behind the wheel or something.
It's not that different a costume than what it is, except for the green glow, which I even put this on our Facebook page. I'm guessing it just disappears after 8 issues, and he has like a slightly bigger spider, and he has this he has a small Remita eyes, and maybe those stay, or maybe he goes back to the big McFarlane eyes.
Yeah.
But I feel like now we have now basically exhausted the comic news.
Yeah.
We also know that Brian Azzarello is and Andy, is it Andy? Yes, it's Andy Kubert are going to be doing the Frank Miller Dark Knight sequel.
Yeah.
With Frank Miller. And I think Frank Miller's at a point now where he's just going
to
do
be
broad
like,
strokes.
Yeah, here's notes. Here yeah. Do this.
Yeah, but we got that right before Comic-Con. Yeah. We don't have these big things like... I keep going back to the Joss Whedon announcement on X-Men, because that happened at the floor of San Diego. With that year, Grant Morrison went up to Joe Quesada and goes, oh, by the way, I'm quitting X-Men now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to DC and I'm going to do Batman. And Quesada freaked out and saw Joss Whedon walking the floor and went, hey, do you want to do the X-Men?
Yeah.
Joss Whedon went, yeah. And then he went into the panel and said, we got Joss Whedon on the X-Men. We didn't have anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, that story is what? 10, 12 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was in high school and that was coming out.
Really?
I think so.
Wow.
But like, yeah, it's weird.
I was married.
Secret Wars is in the middle of like sequels. It's like fourth issue out of 8 or 7 or something like this. And there was a teaser in one of the books. I don't remember which one, that was like after the war, blah, 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 some bullshit. And they still haven't made an announcement at the convention. Like, there's no announcement for what's coming after Secret Wars. DC hasn't announced any big event. Like, if this was your last big opportunity to announce, like, your big event...
So I think there's not one. I think
maybe
both
that's
companies
it.
Are like, let's focus on the titles. We have a lot of launches. We have a lot of number ones. I know Robin is going to have a crossover with all the Robin books, because now you have Damian, We Are Robin, and Gotham Academy.
Yep.
We also got the announcement that, and I don't know how to feel about this, we're getting a sequel to Batman Eternal.
Yeah, I mean,
it's going to
be
half as long. It's going to be a 6-month story. So we're going to get 24 issues, which feels, it's definitely less of a commitment. But, you know, I read all of Batman Eternal. It was pretty good, but man, I was tired by the end of that.
Yeah,
I was tired
of
buying Batman every
week. I'd read like in one shot. You know what I mean? I'd read the graphic novel for Eternal. I could not read it weekly. It's too much.
Yeah, I did that back in when 52 was coming out. I would read it in batches.
Yeah.
I would go to a store that still had them all, like Midtown Comics or Forbidden Planet. That would have like 2 months on the rack.
And just, yeah.
And I'd just buy 8 issues and I'd read that day. So I don't know. This one's going to be called Batman and Robin Eternal. And Robin's in a state of flux now where we have a Robin team and we have Damian on his own. And Tim Drake is Batman Beyond now. So maybe this will shake things out and even things out. But my big problem with Batman Eternal was I thought I was forced to read it because it was this weekly book that was going to run all year. And it didn't touch any of the titles at all.
Yeah, it really... And I guess it's something where if it's coming out weekly, it's got to be an editorial nightmare to try to make it touch on some of the other titles. So I think they were like, just do your own thing. Don't bother crossing over with any story arcs. And then once this Batman Eternal thing wraps up, then the other books will touch on it. Then Catwoman or whatever can be like, yeah, and this happened in Batman Eternal.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have the asterisk.
Right.
Go back and read Batman Eternal because now things are different.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Let's use that as a segue. I'm amazed that we spent 10 minutes talking about comics at Comic-Con. But let's go from there to talk about some of the big media ones. And I think... Batman is a perfect example of let's start small. The thing I got the most excited about was they premiered Justice League Gods and Monsters.
Yeah.
And at the Q&A afterwards, Bruce Timm announced that the next animated film will be an adaptation of Batman the Killing Joke.
Yeah, probably arguably the best Batman graphic novel.
Well, definitely the best Joker graphic novel.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm really, really excited about it because... the adaptations they did of The Dark Knight Returns and Year One, which arguably are the greatest Batman graphic novels, were pitch perfect. Not only could you hold the book open and read along with it, but it was beautifully done. And just the way they figured things out. I mean, just panel by panel, just a panel where Batman is ready to punch somebody, and then Batman punches someone, and is like, oh, you never actually see how he punches them.
Yeah.
They had to figure out all little things like that.
They're filling all this stuff
in. And there were a lot of little surprises in those movies where I was like, oh, I didn't think of that moment being that. And
yeah.
I loved it. So I feel like if we do it like those films.
Yeah, and at this point, I mean, this has to be, Dark Knight Returns was more than you would show... like a kid now. Now it's getting to the point where,
right.
Okay.
Well, these are PG-13.
Yeah, they're
DVDs
getting that hard
PG-13
now, so it's like they are no longer making these, you know, at one point these DC animated movies were, all right, make sure the kids can watch them. Like all the Justice League ones, some of the earlier Batman ones, Mask of the Phantasm, all that stuff. Now it's like, nope, they're PG-13.
Well, that's back where they were coming out of the animated series that were on TV. That was kind of the directive when they started these with Superman Doomsday was like, we're going to go further than we could have done on TV.
Yeah.
And for a while, they were gratuitous, but they've managed to
pull
back.
Yeah, now they pulled back and they figure, okay, well, what stories best service the PG-13 rating or whatever you want to call it?
Right, and they've kind of created their own universe now with these new 52 movies that they all interconnect together because, like, the last one, and we interviewed Jim DeMatteis on the show about Batman versus Robin, how it was kind of a blend of... the Tomasi Batman and Robin story and Court of Owls and some of the new 52 stuff. And it was a direct sequel to some of the Justice League stuff. So I was sorry to see those faithful adaptations go away, but it sounds like they're going to create a slot in the roster to kind of
play around. Figure at least we're getting at least one a year. It seems where it's all right. We're going to take our biggest stories and we'll animate them,
right.
You know, and you know, they keep doing well. They keep, you know, like I said, I didn't hear anyone have anything bad to say about The Dark Knight Returns or Batman Year One. They did so well, and it seems like they're not really straying from doing Batman stories.
Right, there's enough great Batman stories out there, and when you put Batman on anything, it sells.
Right, you know, but it'd be interesting to see them try to do, you know, other major stories with different characters that are based off of specific stories.
I remember when they first announced that they were doing this, they announced Teen Titans Judas Contract.
Yeah.
And it never happened.
Yeah.
Because it only had Robin in it. And now we are getting two more films. We're getting Batman Bad Blood, I believe it's called, which is going to introduce the new 52 Batwoman into this universe. And then we're also going to get Justice League versus Teen Titans, which will be the first time we see Teen Titans in the new 52, which is going to be interesting because Teen Titans Go is such a monster hit on Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
You have all these little kids. Ben is super into it. When we were just in New York, my niece, who's 12, is super, super, super into it. So it's going to be interesting if they can kind of get a crossover with this or if they need to draw a line in the sand and go, you can't watch these Teen Titans. It'll be interesting to see how they approach those characters.
Yeah, they're having a really hard time with that. You know, we've talked before off the air about how different characters are marketed, where, you know, Deadpool appears on a Spider-Man cartoon, but then in the comic book, it's pretty much an R-rated comic book where he's running around with a sword.
Right, and we saw a trailer from Comic-Con, which we were just talking about, which is one of the things we'll get to. That looks great. Seriously, R. The trailer alone was R.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as I looked at it, I was like, Ben cannot see this.
Yeah.
Not only can I not take Ben to it, but Ben cannot see this disc. It's like, I'm not going to let him watch Dread.
Right.
Or The Walking Dead.
Exactly.
It's on that level.
Yeah, and that seems where, you know, from the company's perspective, they're having a harder time figuring out how to market these characters and make them so the kids have accessible to, like, Teen Titans or versions of the Teen Titans,
right.
And then, hey, we can do this movie as well, you know, and just make sure that it looks different. You know, there's a new Starfire book that came out with the new after post-convergence DC number ones, and it's like, kids want to read it. Little girls are coming in, like, oh, I heard there's a Starfire book because I like Teen Titans. And it's like, yeah, in the first issue, so she's running around naked. And
oh, is it like the Red Hood?
It's not
version?
As crazy as the Red Hood, but it's definitely in the same venue of like, well, you're 8 years old or, you know, 6 years old or something. You probably shouldn't be reading
and
this.
I feel like it's easier to do with Batman because Batman is so big and so ubiquitous that you can do Killing Joke where maybe there's a rape of Barbara Gordon. I mean, we went through all this with the cover, the homage. But Batman's so popular that you can say kids can't go near this. And then there's this Batman Unlimited, which is basically there to sell toys that aren't based on the comic at all. and then super into wanting to see that, although he got birthday money, and I said, why don't you buy that with your birthday money? And he bought, like, Ice Age 4.
Yeah, you know.
So I haven't seen Batman Unlimited yet.
Right.
Because to teach him a lesson, I ain't buying it.
Right.
But I'm really hoping that Killing Joke will be true to Brian Bolland's designs, which are very, very different than anything they've done.
Yeah.
Long and angular, kind of detailed.
Yeah.
And I'm also hoping there's been no announcement of the voice cast, but man, it's a missed opportunity if you don't use Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill.
It really would be. And I know Hamill's gone repeatedly and said, oh, I can't do that Joker voice anymore. It's really like wrecking his throat. But it's like,
apparently he's in Arkham Knight.
Exactly. He said that and then he did Arkham Knight or whatever. So it's like, he could probably sneak one more in for us.
And he said, I would come back for a Killing Joke, even when.
Yeah, so then maybe we will get him back.
Yeah, it's the most definitive
Joker story. Yeah.
Joker story. Yeah, it's definitely the most definitive Joker story, because the only other Jokers that come close to it are Heath Ledger and Jack Nicholson, in my opinion, and both of those are kind of interpretations.
Right. So, that's always something interesting to see. Like you said, when they do, you know, when they did Year One, it was interesting to see how they'd animate David Mazzucchelli. When they did Dark Knight Returns, it's interesting to see how they animate Frank Miller art. Now it's going to be, all right, let's figure out how we can do Brian Boland so it looks like Brian Boland art, but it moves like animation. You know, that's always a really cool thing to see.
Yeah, and as you were saying before about seeing other characters, there were rumors back in the 90s, and it never happened, and it still hasn't happened today. I would love so much to see Jack Kirby's New Gods as a Blu-ray.
Yeah.
You know, granted, it's a story with no ending that goes all over the place, but just to have like Orion versus Darkseid for an hour and 10 minutes
in Kirby style, yeah,
it'd be worth $30, much less the 12 they usually charge you.
Yeah, the other one we always hear rumors of, or the ones we're always like, oh, wouldn't it be awesome if, is like animated Kingdom Come. You know, it would be like, but how on earth do you animate?
It had to be CG.
Have to be.
It could not be cell drawn animation.
No. So it's stuff like that where it's like, but yeah, it's like at some point these keep doing so well, they're going to kind of get to everybody. We might see like Jack Kirby style animation for like, you know, a New Gods property or something, you know. It's like, I mean, how close is Bruce Timm even when he really kind of cuts loose? If you ever see his like sketches or go on his blog or whatever, it's all very heavy Kirby influence.
Well, you look at stuff like in Superman Animated Series
when he
would do Darkseid, when he would do the New Gods, or in Batman the Animated Series when Etrigan showed up, or even some of the monsters. They would do like
Kirby monsters.
These weird, they would be like half Keith Giffen and half Kirby, like the Lobo episode, the aliens that they would draw, or like there was weird Batman the Animated Series with giant insects, which was not a great episode, but they were weird Kirby giant insects.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Kirby in Bruce Timm.
Oh, yeah.
But let's move from that to some more of the live action stuff. There were some major footage. As I said, not many big surprises.
Yeah.
It's not like somebody announced this was the final season of something. There were no new shows. Marvel Studios didn't really have a presence there. Ant-Man comes out next week, so it's too late to promote it.
Yeah.
And Civil War, they haven't shot enough to really show it.
Right.
So they didn't really...
It didn't seem... Yeah, I mean, I heard there was a like new recut footage for Ant-Man, you know, so shit we've already seen.
Right.
But yeah, like you said, Civil War isn't anywhere near completion. You know, I think all we saw was for at least from Marvel Studios was there's pictures floating around of that idiot from Walking Dead as the Punisher.
Oh, John Bernthal, which I liked. His hair was really short.
Yeah.
That took me off. But I like the idea of John Bernthal as the Punisher. Because obviously he can play a psychotic thug from Walking Dead. But I also saw did you see Mob City?
No.
Mob City was the show that Frank Darabont did after he was fired from Walking Dead.
Okay.
And it was a film noir. It was like a 40s detective, and John Bernthal was his lead.
Okay.
And he played a little more thoughtful, a little more introspective, more of like a gumshoe, hard-boiled detective type.
Yeah.
And he handled it well.
Okay, because he's a guy like, I hate him. And there's nothing, he's like the douchiest guy I've never met. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I know people in my life that are douchebags that are less douchey than this guy I've only seen like two roles.
Right, and that's where you got to get past it. Because actually, and this is one of the things I love about you, is that I explain, oh, you know, it's actually a pretty good guy. And you go, That's great. I hate him because he's not a good guy.
Yeah, and I don't know him. I'm sure he's a wonderful human being. Well, I've never not seen him as a douchebag.
One of the earliest C2E2s, Joe and I went to the Walking Dead panel, and he was there.
Yeah.
And he was just like a goofy stoner.
Yeah.
So I was a little more okay with him. So I think he'll be great as the Punisher.
I hope so. Like I said, I really like the first season of Daredevil.
Said season two is Daredevil versus the Punisher. So he's going to... Yeah.
I mean, I think the logo had like a bunch of bullet holes across the Daredevil logo. So like Elektra's confirmed.
I'm guessing D'Onofrio is not coming back and it's all going to be Punisher.
Yeah, I think it'd be kind of a crime to not have him in it, even if he's in like a jail cell or something. You see something for him.
It'd be nice to have a cameo just to kind of follow up.
Just to say, look, he's still out there. He is coming back. He will be in it at some point again.
Yeah, the Kingpin's too important a character in the Marvel Universe to forget about.
Exactly.
But we saw that some of the TV trailers. We saw a Walking Dead trailer, which is on our Facebook page. By the way, most of these trailers are on our Facebook page.
So all the go trailers, over there, that's where I found
if there's something you haven't seen. The Walking Dead trailer, speaking of Jon Bernthal, people were excited about it, but honestly, it just looked like more Walking Dead. It was very... I was confused... the way it seemed like it was edited to be misleading, where you think it's going to go one way, so then when you see the episodes, it's going to like pull the rug out from under you. But it seemed like they were really pushing this season to be a rivalry between Rick and Morgan. But just the way it was edited, it looked like a lot of people were talking about somebody else, and then they would show a shot of Rick or a shot of Morgan. And I'm like, you know what? I'm this deep into the show.
You'll still go.
I'm just going to watch it.
Yeah.
I don't even want to see this. On the flip side, I'm already going to say my favorite show, and now that Constantine is dead, the new show I will fight for if it doesn't do well, Ash versus Evil Dead.
Yeah, I saw that.
Looks phenomenal.
That looks good. And didn't they show a trailer for the Fear of the Walking Dead, whatever that spinoff is?
I didn't see the trailer. I've seen just tiny little teasers.
There was something I saw for it. That actually looks pretty good.
Does it?
Yeah, I gave up on the Walking Dead, like the main show. This actually looks good, and I'm hoping Kirkman isn't involved, maybe.
He is, but whether he's as involved, I mean, it could be a Buffy Angel kind of thing where Joss Whedon was involved in both, but he was really on Buffy.
Right. So that's hard to say, but that I liked. I think the Ash thing, the Evil Dead, is like, it's a good call to make it a show.
Right. And they're going to be a half an hour, not an hour.
Right.
So they're going to be like bang, 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 bang.
Who's putting that out? Like what network?
It's going to be on Starz.
Okay, so we'll be able to do all the crazy...
Yeah, but it's everybody involved. Sam Raimi is directing the pilot.
Yeah.
Bruce Campbell is starring.
That's awesome.
Lucy Lawless is in it.
Yeah.
As like, I think she's like the third lead. Like she's going to be in it more than she was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Or Parks and Rec. But not only does it have like the same amount of gore, it looks like, from the Evil Dead trilogy, which I adore.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge horror guy, but like, the horror movies I love, and I love the Evil Dead trilogy. But they're also having so much fun with it. They're just having fun with, like, that Ash is old.
Yeah, and that's perfect, because I don't think they should try to do the, no, man, he's still young, he's still got it. It's like, no, let's see how angry and grumpy and old he's going to be. Yeah. Like, I think that's...
Well, my favorite line in it was, it looks like there's after a battle with zombies, and there's all these young characters around him. He plays, like, the mentor character.
Yeah.
But he's still an idiot, because Ash is a moron.
Right, and he shouldn't change.
Especially from Army of Darkness. And they're like, so what do we do? He's like, well, the first thing I got to do is cardio, because my heart is going like a jackhammer.
Yeah.
it looks hilarious. The production values look great. I think it may only appeal to fans.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're a fan of The Walking Dead and you've never seen the Evil Dead trilogy and you watch an episode, you're just going to go, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Which is kind of how I was when I saw Army of Darkness in the theater on a blind date, which did not go well.
Yeah.
And I had never seen Evil Dead 1 or 2. And it was called Army of Darkness, and nobody told me Evil Dead. It was Evil Dead 3.
Yeah,
I spent the first half an hour of that movie going, "What the? Where am I?
Right? What is happening?"
And it was 5 years later they repeated it on Sci-Fi, and my roommate was watching. I was like, "Oh yeah, I saw this movie on Blind Date." And I was like, "Oh wait, this movie's incredible."
Yeah, this is actually
and then
really good.
I went back and watched Evil Dead 1 and 2. So
yeah,
I'm a convert, but I feel like if somebody comes in on like episode 5 of this thing, and doesn't know Evil Dead, They'll probably turn it off.
And that's possible, but I also think this might be like Starz being like, all right, well, now we've got a zombie book that right. we can do a zombie show. They're hot.
Well, that's definitely why they pitched it.
Exactly.
I mean, it's much easier to get the show on the air than it was like...
You couldn't have done this show 10 years ago.
No, like before Bruce Campbell was on burn notice. Like
yeah.
10 years ago when he wasn't working as much.
Yeah, and Walking Dead was not a thing.
Walking Dead was not on the air. They might have pitched it as something and nothing happened.
Yeah.
And they tried to do that remake.
Yeah, that's good. I guess I kind of assumed this is what the remake became, that they were going to do the remake. It didn't happen.
No, the remake came out. Came out like a year or two ago.
Wow.
And I started watching it on, I think, Stars.
Not good?
It wasn't bad, but it didn't have the sense of humor.
Yeah.
It was like trying to be a straight, modern, scary horror movie, and I'm just not into those kind of things. And I checked out after half an hour. And
yeah.
I know people that like modern horror really liked it, but I need a sense of humor to get me through a horror movie. Like, I love Cabin in the Woods, or when I was in high school, I loved the Freddy Krueger movies. Like,
yeah.
Or the old Universal monster horror movies. I like my horror to have a little bit of humor to it, and when it takes itself too seriously, I'm not in it.
Yeah.
And that's what this Ash vs. Evil Dead is.
It's pretty crazy.
Definitely not doing. But that's probably the trailer I was most excited about. And then... That brings us to the main trailers, of which one of
the movies.
Four, five, the movie. And
there's four by my count.
Well, I did not post Deadpool and I did not post Suicide Squad because we don't have official ones. What we have is a leaked iPhone photo.
I hate that shit.
Somebody from an angle. Yeah, and honestly, I didn't really even want to watch them, but I figured we should at least be informed before the show, and they didn't put them out. So we talked about Deadpool. And we also saw Suicide Squad as a handheld thing, but Suicide Squad, I think, goes hand in hand with the new Batman versus Superman trailer.
Yeah, the trailer looks marginally better than I thought it was going to look.
I agree.
And I did not have high hopes for that trailer.
No, I didn't hate this trailer.
Yeah, I guess that's the...
I hated the last trailer.
Yeah, the last trailer was stupid.
Showed up before Avengers? Because I remember seeing it in the theaters, and I hated it.
Yeah, and it's not winning me over, but it's less shitty than I thought it was gonna be. I guess
there's two things I like about it, despite myself. I kind of like where they're going with Batman. Just seeing Ben Affleck with kind of like the gray in his temples.
Yeah,
he mentions in the trailer that he's been Batman for 20 years. So, which corroborates my theory that I talked about when the last trailer came out, that they kind of want this to be the sequel to Dark Knight Rises without saying so.
Yeah.
And I think, because we know in the Nolan trilogy, that's about 10 years of Batman's life.
Yeah.
Once you remove him as a kid.
Sure.
You know, from Ra's al Ghul to Bane.
Right.
We know there's an 8-year gap between Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises. You know, there's a few years of Batman Begins of him training in Tibet. So that could easily be 10 years. So we could be, you know, he's in Europe with Catwoman for, I don't know, 3-4 years. He has to be Batman because he's Batman. He comes back. We know he's running Wayne Enterprises. I like that they're calling out how shitty Man of Steel was.
Yeah.
They're really gearing this around like, we hate you, Superman, because of what you did to Metropolis, which I'm sure wasn't deliberate when they made Man of Steel.
No.
But it was definitely the main backlash that came from that film.
Yeah, and I think I read recent interviews with Scott Snyder, and he's still an idiot, and he's still like...
Zack Snyder?
Yeah, Zack Snyder, I'm sorry.
Scott Snyder is the writer of the Batman comic.
Yeah,
Zack Snyder is the...
Yeah, the idiot Snyder, not the good one. So Zack Snyder's like still on this like, no man, there's real consequences to this stuff, and Superman's gotta blow stuff up, and man, he's just gonna knock out the bad guy and like kill him and blah blah whatever, he said stupid shit. And I do think it is a reaction to the poor reaction he got from Man of Steel, because that was like the major criticism everyone had.
Yeah.
But I think he's thinking from like, oh no, this is like, you know, I'm just glad they're addressing it, because that was an obscene amount of destruction in that movie.
Yeah. I remember we talked about this with Age of Ultron, is it reminded me how in every Marvel Studios movie is civilians come first.
Yeah.
Even in the Iron Man movies, where I, as much as I love those movies, they're all about kind of Tony being selfish and people coming after Tony.
Yeah.
Like, Iron Man 3 has a 10-minute sequence where he saves 20 people that are falling out of a plane.
Right.
You know, and Man of Steel has nothing anywhere near that. Age of Ultron is all about getting the people off the city that Ultron is flying.
Arguments about, hey, let's just blow this thing up and sacrifice the people up here to save everyone on the planet. And there's like, no, we're not doing that. So, you know, at least they address it. And I think that's the big point that people who talk about this stuff online are missing. Yeah, I saw a cartoon or one of those like dumb comics on the internet today, and it was like, Batman lets Ra's al Ghul die in a train crash in the first Batman movie. No one cares. And then Superman murders Zod to save civilians, and everyone loses their mind. And it's just like, well, you're missing the point. Superman isn't Batman.
Right.
Right?
Superman also murdered Zod.
Yeah.
Batman says, and I still have a little bit of a problem with it.
Yeah, it is. It was a dumb thing that happened in that movie, but it's not as bad.
The same way that I have a problem with machine guns being in the Tim Burton Batmobile.
Right.
Is Batman says, I'm not going to kill you, but I don't have to save you.
Yeah. And it's like, that's still an un-Batman thing, I think, to say. So,
but it's not as un-Batman as killing Zod is un-Superman.
Especially when you have these superpowers to not murder him. Right. Like, Superman could have just grabbed him and flown into the air and taken that fight to the moon.
But I feel like that's what this trailer is talking about. As you said, at least they're addressing it. I like, in this trailer, they make it look like that... maybe Bruce is still not Batman. Maybe it's been 10 years since Dark Horizon. But he's in Metropolis during Man of Steel.
Yes. And
at Wayne Enterprises, and it gets smashed, and he's saving people. And he looks up at the sky, and you just see this feeling of like, oh, fuck this guy. I've been Batman for 20 years. He's like, I would never do anything like this. And sees him as a threat.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that I do like. What I dislike is in my 50s, and now I'm going to fight Superman in his prime.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be Dark Knight Returns. However, we're starting a universe with Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, Ben Affleck is older than me. He's a mid-40s youngest.
Yeah.
You know, and it was announced, this was the major news that was announced right before Comic-Con, which also gets me more interested about Batman vs. Superman, is that Ben Affleck will write, star, and direct the next Batman movie.
Right.
Which, say what you want about Ben Affleck as an actor, Argo was great. Gone Baby Gone was great. He's a good director.
Yeah.
And I kind of like, we've never seen a Batman movie that's one person's vision. And obviously it won't be one person's vision.
Sure,
Warner Brothers will be all over.
No one's going to have that much of a handle on it before.
Right. And he's going to do, this will be his fourth movie as Batman, because we know that he has at least a cameo in Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
So he will have played, and Justice League is happening before this Batman movie.
Sure.
It's supposed to happen between the two Justice Leagues.
And I guess,
so he'll already be experienced with a character before he directs himself.
Right. And I think that's good. That's great. But we're also saying he's probably going to do three Batman movies at least, in addition to possibly three Justice League movies or two. He's going to be 60, the Batman, right? Because they're saying in this movie, Batman's like in his 50s, right, and he's been retired.
But to be fair, he's confirmed to do one Batman movie. He's not doing a Batman trilogy.
Right now, but you really think every time they try to do a Batman movie, it turns into four movies or it turns into three movies.
Yeah, but
Batman Begins was not announced as a trilogy.
Yeah, but George Clooney and Val Kilmer were Batman once.
Sure, but that was four movies still. That was all in continuity.
Sort of. Yeah.
Yeah, they never contradict themselves. They reference the other
movies.
That's
what I'm saying. I think they're trying to make this a backdoor sequel to Nolan.
Yeah. And I don't see that so much. I do like the idea that, hey, look, he was Batman. He's maybe retired. Maybe now he's just running Wayne Enterprises and he's cleaned up the majority of Gotham or whatever. But it's like, I just think it's a huge mistake to start a new DC continuity and Batman's already half retired.
Right. Well, you know what? And Affleck's not that old. I mean, you know what? Affleck is younger than Robert Downey Jr., but that's the problem Marvel has right now with Robert Downey
Jr. And that's what I'm saying. They can't even take the time.
Robert Downey was about... I'd say Robert Downey was Ben Affleck's age when they did the first Iron Man.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr., the first Iron Man was over 10 years ago, right?
No.
It would have been 2008.
2008. It was like, it was like almost 6-7 years
ago. Right, but now Robert Downey Jr. is how old?
And that's why he's... taking supporting roles in the Marvel Universe now and saying no to an Iron Man 4.
Right.
You're right. They're going to get to that point.
And
with
that's
Ben
what
Affleck.
I'm saying. They already shot themselves in the foot, because if Ben Affleck is older than Iron Man, when Iron Man started, is that what you're saying?
I think he's about Downey's age. Yeah,
and it's just like, why would they even put themselves in the same predicament?
Here's why they're not worried about it. We've only had one Tony Stark ever. We've had like seven Batmans.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know what? We get to Justice League 3. Batman, somebody else now. We know you've accepted it because you've accepted it seven times.
Yeah. I think the problem is that they're making the character older. They could have made Batman in his 20s. They could have made Batman in his 30s. Yeah. And they're like, no, Batman's in his 40s.
And they're making Superman so young.
Right. And that's the problem. That guy who's playing Superman could play Superman for the next 20 years.
I don't even know if he's 30 yet. That guy.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's what I'm saying, is he's such a young guy. That Gal Gadot is such a young girl. Mm-hmm. She could play Wonder Woman for the next 15 years.
Yeah, it's interesting, because when they were going to do Justice League back in 2008 and the writer's strike stopped that from happening,
yeah,
they hired Arnie Hammer to be Batman.
Yeah.
The Lone Ranger.
Yeah, they were going to...
And much younger. You know, and in fact, Arnie Hammer and Superman.
Henry Cavill.
Thank you, Henry Cavill. I wanted to say Clive Revell, which I believe was the Emperor, the voice of the Emperor in Empire Strikes Back. Well, they're both in Man from U.N.C.L.E. They're about the same age.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't...
That would have been a lot better.
Yeah, I think they really wanted to go Dark Knight Returns, but like, oh, we've never done an older Batman. We've done Batman Begins.
Sure.
We've done Batman His Prime, but we've never done this. But the trailer, I'm like, I didn't hate it as much as I thought I was going to hate it. And I've said this many times on the show, my problem with Zack Snyder is I've never truly enjoyed any movie he's made.
If he actually ever made
I went into Watchmen with high, high hopes, and I walked out pretty bored.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the closest thing. And Man of Steel, I thought was terrible. I didn't like his Dawn of the Dead. I thought the 300 was overrated. I was like, oh, it looks like Frank Miller, but I was kind of done with it after an hour. I didn't see Sucker Punch because everybody said it's awful.
It was ridiculous, yeah.
There you go. So,
he's another one of these guys that, like, you know, people decided, oh, this was a good thing, right? And then everyone else was like, yeah, this was a good thing. And it's just like, did anyone really see the thing, or are we just saying it's a good thing?
Well, once you make a movie that makes money, because it was announced, and this here's a segue into our next thing, is that Colin Trevorrow, the director of Jurassic World, will be doing Star Wars 9. Because Jurassic World
made a stupid amount of money. Yeah.
Oh, but before we go into Star Wars, because there's a lot to talk about with Star Wars, I wanted to mention Suicide Squad now that we covered Batman versus Superman. Suicide Squad was the movie I was looking forward to most out of the DC Universe because they did it so well in the animated movie.
Yeah.
Assault on Arkham. Did you see that?
I haven't seen it yet.
You really should. It's almost not story appropriate, but I think you can get away with it at a time when there's not kids around. It's really fun, and it walks this line. I was just talking to Tina Canfield, who has been on the show many, many times on Facebook about it.
Yeah.
It walks this line between horrifying, gruesome violence and just goofiness in the characters. And they're using a lot of the same characters, like Deadshot and Harley.
Right.
And I loved that movie. And that movie's called Batman Assault on Arkham, but Batman's in it for like 7 minutes. And it's called an Arkham video game movie. But that's really only because they use the same
sets
of Arkham Asylum as the game. What it is a Suicide Squad movie, and Batman appears once every 10 minutes, which I loved. And I think it was my greatest thing in the world. And I was like, it was quirky. It was weird. It was siding with the villains. I was like, you can have fun with this. This was their opportunity to do Guardians of the Galaxy.
Exactly, yeah.
And when I saw this trailer, I'm like, it looks just like Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this too, and we read interviews where these guys who are the producers or whoever are like, yeah, you know, we're just going to take everything darker. You know, with Superman, we'll make him darker. It'll sell. Batman's dark, so let's make everything dark. And it's like, none of the Marvel movies are doing that. So where are you getting this idea that dark sells?
Like, from Nolan.
Sure, but that's Batman specific. Yeah. You know, it's like Marvel doesn't make Thor dark, and they don't make Ant-Man a dark movie and Iron Man a dark movie and Captain America. They have dark elements to them. But I think this whole everything's going to be dark, it's like, yeah, you guys are totally missing the bullseye. Like,
yeah, and I really think it goes back to Green Lantern, was they tried to turn Green Lantern into Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know, they tried to make Hal Tony Stark in that movie. It was very, very obvious. And that movie bombed. So they're running away from everything involved in that movie. In fact, they announced changed the Green Lantern movie to be Green Lantern Corps because they're afraid people don't want to see Hal Jordan again. They're so afraid. That movie was such a bomb. And it was a terrible movie. And it's hard to put your finger on what exactly was wrong with it. So everybody got the blame. And Ryan Reynolds is trying to save his career by being Deadpool, which, as we said, is so far working great.
Yeah.
But you know, the director of Green Lantern did Casino Royale.
Yeah.
One of the best Bond movies ever. So he's not a bad director. So Warner Bros. Doesn't know why it bombed. And Green Lantern was at the height of his popularity in the books.
When that came out.
When that came out. People loved Green Lantern when Geoff Johns was writing it. So they don't know why it bombed. So they're doing everything the opposite of that movie, which is not right for a lot of the characters. Because they got some... They were... All right, they got nothing right with Green Lantern. But well, the tone was not the
there
problem.
There was definitely... I remember hearing numbers that, like, half the budget of that movie was, like, in advertising, just so people would know who the fuck Green Lantern was.
Right.
And it's just like, you know, I don't know that Marvel did that much for Iron Man. You know, Green Lantern was at least in a very popular cartoon show for years. You know, mm-hmm. Justice League and in all these animated movies. Iron Man wasn't in half the animated shit Green Lantern's been in.
Iron Man had one... animated series in the 60s?
Yeah.
The cutout panels?
And that shitty
and
one
the
in
90s.
The 90s.
And it's when just, everybody had an animated
everyone
series
did.
From Marvel.
Yeah, and like I said, Green Lantern was on Super Friends. It was like there was enough exposure where I think they could have just made the movie, slashed the budget in half if they did spend half of it on advertising. He's on like cereal boxes and shit.
And that I've never seen a movie second-guess itself within the movie so often where it's like, well, it's about this. No, but it's about this. There was no clear story in that because... They didn't know why Green Lantern worked, so they threw in every single piece of the mythology in there. They're like, we're going to go to Oa now and meet all the other Green Lanterns, and then we're going to leave them.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna show Hal's brothers, who have nothing to do with the story, but maybe that's why you like Green Lantern?
Even though I didn't even know he had brothers for like the first 10 years I read Green Lantern.
And it's like, it's going to be about Hector Hammond, but it's actually going to be about Parallax, but Parallax is not this thing that takes over Hal and turns him evil, which is what people liked. It's going to be a big cloud monster. And tell me when a cloud monster has ever worked in a movie.
Yeah.
You know, every time, there's been a lot of cloud monsters.
Yeah, it's like if they can't figure out how to animate like a space thing, they're like, hide it in clouds. And maybe it's a CG
thing. Galactus was a cloud monster.
Maybe they're just like, oh, it's easier to just animate clouds. We know what they look like.
Right. I mean, I feel like we've had this conversation so many times, but I also feel like this is a conversation that's going on at every comics bookstore every single week.
Yeah.
And yeah, now, but Suicide Squad was the perfect opportunity to give yourself a license to have some fun, and they don't even want to have fun there. So it's like, well, when am I going to have fun watching these movies? Because I didn't have any fun watching Man of Steel.
Yeah. And I think that's, they're trying to go for this like big, epic, sweeping music.
But people already said they didn't like that about Man of Steel, but Man of Steel made more money than Green Lantern.
And I think that's the thing, which is interesting because Man of Steel didn't make as much money as Superman Returns did.
Right.
And it's just like...
But the train had already left the station.
And that's fine, but
then... Superman Returns is a better movie than Man of Steel.
I agree. And I think there's some dumb things in Superman Returns, too. I think What's-His-Name got carried away with some of the stuff he was interested in doing.
I think it's way too long and way too slow. I think you could have cut 45 minutes out of Superman Returns and had a pretty good movie.
Right. And that's what I'm thinking. And, you know, so, like I said, I think it's another opportunity where it's like, you know, everyone's like, oh, did you see the trailer for this? You see the trailer. It's like, what did you guys see that you're so excited about in this? You know what I mean? It's
you know
like,
what you saw? You saw Batman and Superman going to have a fight.
And it's just like, but
the fact that they actually did it. But I'm beyond that point now. We've had so many superhero movies. I realized this. I may have said this on the show, but I realized this about a year ago. We've seen... Pretty much every superhero, every major superhero
major
has had a
heroes,
movie.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen freaking Spawn in a movie.
Yeah.
I am past the point now where I go, oh my God, they made this movie.
Exactly.
That character's on the screen. Like, I had tears in my eyes in the first Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
Because here was Spider-Man actually web-swinging around the city.
And it looked real.
Like I wanted my entire life. My jaw was on the floor through all of X-Men. I'm like, oh my God, Wolverine and Cyclops and Professor X are in a movie.
Yeah.
I've seen Guardians of the Galaxy now. I'm going to see Ant-Man next week. I've seen that. And just showing me, here's the superhero you love as a person in a live-action movie.
It's lost its luster.
I don't care.
I think that's what I go back to is everyone's like, yeah, but they're going to fight. And it's just like... Yeah, but look, we've seen Superman movies, we've seen Batman movies. Like you said, we saw a fucking raccoon in a tree on the big screen. There's no other movie they can get you just by saying we made that movie. They'll make everything. Right. It's got to be a good movie now. It has to be good. And I've seen Superman and Batman fight a dozen times in the comics. I've seen it done really well, and I've seen it done really shitty.
I've seen it done on television.
Right, so it's just like, I don't see this being some huge, awesome thing. Oh, they're both finally together. It's like, we saw the fucking Avengers 4 years ago or 5 years ago. The luster of seeing all these guys on this. Marvel beat them to it years ago. Mm-hmm. They beat them.
And you know what? That was a complaint about Age of Ultron was people. There were a lot of people who was like, yeah, it's not as good as Avengers. And then when you pin them down on why, they were like, well, you know, and it's like, because you already saw the Avengers.
Right.
You know, there's nothing particularly wrong in Age of Ultron, and people can argue, well, I don't like the farm, and I, you know, and there should have been more Black Widow, but that's splitting hairs. The fact of the matter is, you saw the Avengers get together already.
Yeah.
You can't do that magic trick twice.
Exactly. And I think it's something where, you know, the now it's the leading up to the Thanos, and it's just like, people are going goo-goo for that, and it's like, what are you so excited about?
Well, Thanos I am excited about because it's just, no one's ever done the big cosmic universe
story. And that'll be cool to see, but same thing, it's just like, you know, we saw cosmic stuff with, like, Guardians of the Galaxy, and it's just like, you know, if you look, if just from in the comic world, we know Thanos, big bad guy, blah, 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 whatever. But all these people in the movies know is, oh, he gave a thing to Loki and Loki lost it. And then he gave a thing to Ronan and Ronan stole it. And then, you know, he gave a thing to Ultron and then Ultron lost it. It's like, he's an idiot. He just sits around like floating in his chair.
All I know about Thanos is he has a floating chair, which also has a floating footrest.
Yeah. that's all he does.
That's kind of impressive. His feet aren't dangling around under the chair.
Yeah.
The footrest floats along with him.
Yeah.
That's kind of impressive.
So, but it is something. And then, you know, I think if you want to do like the segue, that's something with, at least with Deadpool, it's another one of those, see, they're doing everything, and it looks,
right.
And to
the
credit,
this thing you really thought they'd never do. In fact, they're doing this thing that Fox said they weren't gonna do.
Yeah, and I will give Deadpool probably more credit. I fucking hate Deadpool, first of all, so this isn't like
I'm like Deadpool.
A Deadpool fanboy. I hate the character, I think he's stupid. I don't understand why he's such a big deal, but I think it's like toilet humor, but like,
he's a violent Spider-Man.
Yeah. And it's, like I said, it's toilet humor. It's easy, but it's something where, to their credit, that trailer, it's exactly like what the comic is. And he's in the closest adaptation of like a comic book costume since Spider-Man.
Right.
And I think kudos to the studio.
Hellboy.
Yeah. Kudos to the studio for going that close to the source material, to the point where, like, it's taken Batman how many movies? There's been, like, 14 Batman movies?
This is the closest costume. I will say Ben Affleck's costume looks like Frank Miller.
Right. No, but that's what I'm saying. But it took him, like, 14 Batman movies to give him the white eyes that people have been asking for since, like, the first one. Deadpool's like, oh, here's his first movie. He's got the white eyes.
Right.
It's like they're right on top of, let's make it look exactly like the comic.
Right. I think you made an excellent point, though, saying it's not enough just to see these guys. What's the story? I think that's a perfect segue to really the elephant in the room at San Diego was J.J. Abrams' quote about the new Star Wars. He said, it's just because we're on the Millennium Falcon doesn't mean it's going to be good. What's the story?
Yeah.
And quotes like that. And then when they showed the Comic-Con footage.
Yep.
I have to say, I fell in love with Star Wars again. In those 4 minutes, I took off all of the cynicism that had built up over the prequels for me of like, I've been saying, and I've said this on the show so many times of like, yeah, Star Wars was a thing I was into when I was a kid.
Yep.
And then they stopped making them and I grew up and then they made some more and they're not so good. So what?
Yeah.
I wasn't personally offended. You know, it's hard to personally offend me with a movie. Well, maybe I'm personally offended by Batman and Robin.
Yeah, you seem a little offended by that.
A little offended by that. But I was always like, and whenever, you know, whenever people go crazy about Star Wars or when new toys come out, like every now and then I'll pick up a Star Wars figure or I'll look at Star Wars Rebels or Clone Wars and I go, oh yeah, you know, this is for you guys. Star Wars has become like Harry Potter for me.
Yeah.
Harry Potter, I read all the books once.
Yep.
I saw all the movies at least once, maybe a couple of times. But I think they're good.
Yeah.
But
it's not a fandom I'm invested in.
Yeah, I don't really care. Like, I don't need to get deeper into that world. And what this Star Wars trailer did was just kind of bring me back into that world that I did care about.
Yeah.
And yeah, no one's done that in a long time.
And that's what I actually really like, because I liked the original Star Wars. You know, I was old enough when the prequels came out, I think, to know that this was shit if anyone thought they were good. And then, so then even that first trailer, like, really, I was like, whoa, this looks excellent. And I do kind of appreciate that that's, you know, it seemed like George Lucas made the new Star Wars movies, the prequels, because he wanted money, and he's like, oh, I want to do my thing.
He wanted to try new technology. So he's he was very interested in digital cameras and CG, which, to his credit, have taken over Hollywood, so he knew where Hollywood was going.
Yeah.
But he let that lead. That was why he made those movies. Right. He didn't have a story.
Exactly. And him, J.J. Abrams, at least saying that is like, yeah, you're absolutely right. Because, you know, if it's done shitty, you're done. You know what I mean? Who even directed the last three Star Wars movies? You know what
George
I mean?
George Lucas did.
And where's he right now?
He has $4 billion from Disney.
No, not to say that he's not a rich man, but it's just like he's
no. But he's talking widely about all these movies he's going to make that he probably never will.
Right. And J.J. Abrams is a guy who could have his whole career ahead of him, and if he plays his cards right, and does not fuck this up, this dude's
right.
You're made.
And he's a very smart guy. And to his credit, as much as I bust on Star Trek Into Darkness, and I bust on myself for giving it a good review on this show when we saw it,
because
we were eating Five Guys.
Everything's good with Five Guys. I still like it.
I think he recognized that he didn't have a good enough handle on it. Like, he was able to do it once, and I loved his first Star Trek movie.
I think it's great.
And I think he knew in that second film, I don't really understand this. And when Star Wars came along, he was happy to let it go and go, but I do understand this.
Yeah.
And he's a guy that's had a fascination. He's about my age, you know, he's a Gen Xer.
Yeah.
And he's had a fascination with that late 70s, early 80s blockbusters. I mean, Super 8, not a great movie, but clearly his love of Spielberg.
Yeah.
Of like, this is what I loved about E.T. and Close Encounters.
Right.
And Star Wars cuts deep to the bone. And when you see, first of all, that trailer, but just the way they're approaching this. And I thought the interesting thing was the whole mission statement of that video, which they didn't say, was these are not the prequels.
Yeah.
Everything they said about that was these are not the prequels. Look at the models we're making. Look at the sets we're building. Look at the rubber heads we have for the aliens. Look, we're actually out on location.
Yeah.
It's
not all green screen.
It's not green screen and CG, and that's what the prequels are, and we know you don't like them.
Yeah.
There was that. And then when they get to the people, that's where it really hit me between the eyes was not only did they, you know, they show Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill and
everyone you'd expect,
Carrie Fisher, and they show Peter Mayhew taking off his Chewbacca mask, and they show Anthony Daniels walking around the Millennium Falcon, but then they show Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote Empire and Jedi, as well as Raiders, sitting with J.J. Abrams working on the script. They show Kathleen Kennedy, who produced the original Star Wars, as well as all the Indiana Jones films,
yeah,
but not the prequels. And there was this clear thing of like, it was ironic that they were saying, look how close we are to the originals.
Yes.
We are just like the originals. And the only one who's not here
is
the creator.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's kind of awesome.
It's weird though, but it's like, we're making them exactly the way the guy who made them made them, because we're not letting the guy who made them make them anymore.
He's gone too far off the reserve, you know?
I've never seen anything like that of like, There was this Lucas-shaped hole in the middle of that video.
Yeah.
Of like, look, everyone who's here. Right. It's almost like,
it'd be like Marvel making a video and doing like all these guys like Ditko, Buscema, mm-hmm. Kirby, and no Stanley.
Or it would be like talking about Secret Wars and not having Jim Shooter.
Right.
And you kind of know why
right.
he's not there. Like Stanley, you put Stanley in it. But it was odd. And of course, they played John Williams music throughout. I believe John Williams is doing the score with this. Which I've often said, John Williams is the only thing in the prequels that feels like Star Wars.
Yeah, I think he's
a guy who has a style that is always there. Did he do the music for Jurassic World? Because he did Jurassic Park.
Did
it sound like John Williams?
No.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't know for sure, but I would say there wasn't anything I was just like, ah, yes, that's John Williams.
Yeah, there wasn't anything John Williams.
I mean, I think they played the theme song, but I don't think he scored like the whole movie.
Right. Yeah, but you know what? That was like he didn't score all the Christopher Reeve Superman films, but they always played his theme.
Yeah. So
it could have been that. But yeah, I was surprised by how much I was drawn into this new movie. And I've been so jaded about Star Wars for Phantom Menace. When Phantom Menace came out, I was so super excited about it. So I was definitely the Star Wars fan I was when I was a kid when that first movie came out.
Yeah.
And then I remembered what killed the prequels for me was better movies kept coming out.
Yeah.
Was Phantom Menace came out right after The Matrix, and I'm in Phantom Menace going, you know, The Matrix is a better movie. And then Attack of the Clones comes out after Fellowship of the Ring and against Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm seeing better movies than this.
Yep.
And then Revenge of the Sith comes out like 2 weeks before Batman Begins.
Right.
So there was, when those prequels came out, there was always a better movie. And when the original movies came out, everybody stayed the fuck out of their way.
Like, yeah.
Lucas did Indiana Jones, so those were on alternate years.
Yeah, so they weren't ever competing.
Yeah, Raiders was the year after Empire, and Temple of Doom was the year after Jedi.
Yeah.
So there was nothing to compare it to.
Right.
And I think it helps the fact that it's coming out at Christmas. The reason it's coming out at Christmas is because it's Disney, and Disney didn't want Age of Ultron and Star Wars to compete against each other.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely a smart move, and that makes sense when you think about it that way, because, like, yeah, why would they compete with themselves? I do think this is, I mean, I know we did crazy numbers for, like, Jurassic Park, but I think, like, this Star Wars movie in particular, I think, is going to be gangbusters. I think this is going to be the movie that's going to set records for a long, long, long time to come.
Well, I think if it's as good as it looks, I think it's a movie that's going to last. So if it comes out at Christmas, I think it'll still be around in February if it's good.
Yeah.
Because I could see this as a movie where casual fans who aren't paying attention. So people like me who aren't watching these trailers are going, yeah, I don't like Star Wars anymore because I didn't like the prequels.
Yeah.
Won't go opening weekend. And then, like, this is going to make you so mad, but like Mad Max Fury Road, people are just going to keep saying, go see it, go see it, go see it.
Yeah.
And I think, I can't think of anything else big coming out this Christmas.
Yeah. But I think it's Star Wars has enough where it's, as far as opening weeks, it'll still do huge just because it's Star Wars.
Right. But if it's good, it'll stay.
Yes.
If it's not good, it'll drop.
Yeah. But like I said, obviously, if it does well, I think this is going to be a juggernaut of a movie,
right?
Because there's so many movies coming after it that have been announced. There's like a young Han Solo movie they're talking about doing that's like the Boba Fett movie.
Oh, and the guys who did the Lego movie.
Yep.
And who are doing Last Man on Earth with Will Forte I posted that. Last Man on Earth. They're doing the young Han Solo movie.
Yeah.
Ryan Johnson, who did Looper and some of the best episodes of Breaking Bad, is doing episode 8. And I said, now we have Colin Trevorrow doing episode 9. And then they're planning to have a Star Wars movie every year.
Yeah.
The same way Marvel has 2 movies every year.
Yeah, and I think that's awesome. I think it's getting the movies are getting a little crowded, I think, with blockbusters, but it's until there's a lot of flaps, I don't see this slowing down anytime soon.
Well, Ben wanted to see Minions this weekend. I don't want to. So I just kept
Another movie. I don't understand how that's a thing.
No, I took him to Inside Out last week, which I loved.
And Stu hated it.
I know, Stu hated it. I think Stu's not the right audience.
Yeah. Well, his kid hated it too.
Yeah, I think his kid's a little too young.
Yeah.
It's definitely 8 to 13. It's really talking to.
Yeah.
But we took him to Inside Out last week, and then Minions came out this week, and every time he brings up Minions, I go, yeah, we're going to Ant-Man next week. I was like, you just went to a movie and you're going to a movie. But because you can't go to the movies every week. You know when people You know when people went to the movies every week? When there were no televisions.
Yeah. Or at least there wasn't
and
like
they went and saw
Netflix.
The newsreel and they saw a cartoon and they saw 2 features.
Yeah. That's true. They certainly do make enough movies to go every week though.
They do. Whether they're good or not is the question. You know what? And I'm at the point now where with this Batman versus Superman and maybe
Fantastic
the Batman
Four
movie being good. Oh, let's not even talk about it. There was no news about it, by the way. Nothing.
I saw a new trailer Nothing. Where
there's a thing burger at
the that thing burger at Arby's or whatever.
Yeah, it's like a Denny's. It's like even the chains getting on board of Fantastic Four are not places you want to be.
Hey, that's basically like Denny's being like, hey, do you want to feel like what it feels like when the thing takes a shit? Have a thing burger.
It's like the thing punched you in the stomach.
Yeah.
For the next 6 hours while you're trying to sleep.
Incredible.
Yeah. Was there anything else in San Diego we didn't cover? We're at an hour.
I'm sure there's, I mean, San Diego's so huge, I'm sure there's things we missed, but I think those are the big major announcements as far as I know.
Yeah, I liked some of the toy announcements. I posted some of that. We're getting more Batman animated figures from DC Collectibles.
Yeah, it's not going to stop anytime soon.
No, we're getting Ra's al Ghul.
They're going to do everybody. Gordon, we're going to get an Ubu action figure.
Yeah, and I will buy it from you.
I'll totally sell it.
Well, Mattel is kind of getting back into DC Universe Classics in a weird way. They're going to do a line that's going to be movies and TV and comics. So they have a six-figure line, which is going to have a Multiversity Superman and an Endgame Joker and TV Flash all in one line with a Build-A-Capullo Batman armor. And we're getting a lot of Batman versus Superman from Mattel.
Yeah, that'll be their big merchandise push is going to be, all right, you once saw the movie, here's all the fucking toys for it.
Right, and a Star Wars, Hasbro is doing a TIE Fighter from the new movie, which will fit the 6-inch figures.
Oh, that's cool.
It's going to be 2 feet tall and cost $170.
Jesus.
There's no way I'm getting.
And then
think
like Star Wars Black will do. They'll do movie figures.
Yeah, well,
like for the new movie.
Well, that's the plan. Those are going to come out in September. They're going to have a midnight sale. Is Star Wars Black is just going to switch over to Force Awakens.
Yeah.
So they're going to have a whole line, which they didn't even get. They didn't really show at San Diego, so I don't know if it's all going to be surprised.
Yeah.
Coming out. They had the new Stormtrooper, which we've seen in a lot of the trailers.
Yeah.
And he looks great.
Yep.
But and then the 3¾ line, they're probably going to do both the small figures and the big figures.
Yeah, I don't think they'll stop either anytime soon.
Yeah, Marvel Legends is chugging along. They show the next Spider-Man wave, and then they announced a Civil War wave, which will have half comic figures.
Yeah.
And so most of the toy news was just kind of, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. Hot Toys is doing a Millennium Falcon cockpit.
Which is...
That looks like the size of the chair you're sitting in.
Awesome and ridiculous.
Yeah, I can't get that.
No.
I couldn't get the Batmobile.
How many of those do we even get sold, do you think?
I think they make 3,000 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Maybe. Worldwide.
Yeah.
But the people that have them? Yeah, well, then they go up in price.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, yeah. Doubles on the secondary market or triples.
Yeah, so I think we're at a point with San Diego where we just expect it. I mean, my yearly calendar tends to function around Toy Fair in San Diego.
Yeah.
It's like every 6 months I go, well, what are the toys I'm going to buy? And for comics, I mean, they just announce stuff when they announce stuff. Everything's on the internet.
Yeah, the announcements I don't really get like crazy excited about because they announce stuff every month. Previews comes out every month, and I look at all the shit I have to order, and I'm like,
right.
Oh, okay.
And you know, and I don't either because we always will have comics.
Yeah, that's not going anywhere.
Right. You know, we don't know what the movies are going to be. We don't know what the TV shows are going to be. But, you know, if they came out and go, hey, this is the next 6 issues of Spider-Man, who's going to pay attention when, you know, when Bryan Cranston is telling some kid that he's banging his mom?
Yeah, I saw that. That was great.
So just remember that you've got plenty more nerd dollars to spend
in
the next
6 months
months until New York Comic Con and Toy Fair.
Yeah,
and
6 months
there will
the road.
Be more. Well, luckily this show is free. So
yes, and always will be.
Yes,
as far as we know.
As far as we know, we're losing money every week. you guys can follow me at Not In My Book on Twitter. I've been posting more stuff on San Diego on my Twitter because I realized most of the stuff goes on Facebook. And as I said, the Caffeinated Comics page on Facebook, I spent most of this weekend just reposting news items when they hit. So if you want to see some of the trailers we're talking about, they're up there right now. And you can, if you're not subscribing to us, you can do it on iTunes or you can do it on Stitcher if you think that Apple has gone to crap since Steve Jobs died. That's where you can find
us. Is that a thing
us.
People think?
That's a thing I think.
Oh, all right. I didn't know. Did he really do much?
Aren't.
I thought it was like he just goes into like a room of nerds and says, I'll make this thing.
Yeah, that was the Bill Burr bit.
Yeah, yeah. He did a whole thing.
Bombed the first time he did it because there were
it?
A bunch of nerds in the room.
Wow.
Did it on Conan. People were like, ugh.
Ooh.
But, yeah, no, the phones aren't as good as they used to be.
The phones aren't as good?
Phones aren't as
good. But isn't that the carrier's issue? Isn't that like AT&T's fault?
No, the apps kind of suck.
No. All right.
That's another show.
All right, we'll get into it.
Yeah.
With Bill.
Oh, yeah, we got to get Bill on that one. Or Lane.
Oh, both of maybe.
Yeah, but next week we'll be talking about Ant-Man. So come back next week because I will make this promise now. We will both have seen it by then. And we will talk about it. And whichever of our regulars have seen it and are available, we'll have
it. Could be a room full of people for all we know.
Yeah, like Age of Ultron. That's
it's always a mess.
Maniac.
Seven people want to talk about
it. Right, and if you want to buy any of the merchandise that is currently being announced, you can find it at Steven's store.
Yes, at 19 South LaGrange Road, LaGrange, Illinois.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Thank